Welcome, dear friends, on this fourth Sunday of Advent. This last week, we experienced our first snow of the season. Yes, it's beginning to feel a lot like Christmas. Let's turn to God now as we open with a word of prayer. God of grace and surprise, today as we celebrate this fourth Sunday of Advent, we stand in awe and wonder of your plan of salvation, which runs so counter to the ways of this world. Thank you for fulfilling your promise of forgiveness and reconciliation through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Help us to recognize the incarnation of your grace, especially with those who suffer, those who are poor, and those who are victimized. Help us to stand in solidarity with the least of our brothers and sisters in Christ, so that the world will see in us the good news of Emmanuel, God with us, in whose very name we pray. Amen. Today, we relight the first three candles of the Advent wreath, the candles of hope, peace, and joy. Now we light the fourth candle of Advent. This is the candle of love. Advent is a time to love as God loved us. As God is love, let us be love also.
In the book of Deuteronomy, we find these words: "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who is not partial and takes no bribe, who executes justice for the orphan and the widow, and who loves the strangers, providing them with food and clothing. You shall love the stranger, for you were the strangers in the land of Egypt." From the Gospel of John, we hear, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another."
Let us pray. Teach us to love, O Lord. May we always remember to put you first as we follow Christ's footsteps, that we may know your love and show it in our lives. As we prepare for our celebration of Jesus' birth, also fill our hearts with love for the world, that all may know your love and the one whom you have sent, your Son, our Savior. Amen.
Hark the herald angels sing. Rise, join the triumph of the skies. Nature rise and worship him who is born at Bethlehem. Hark, the herald's angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time, behold him come.
In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to the Galilean village of Nazareth to a virgin engaged to be married to a man descended from David. His name was Joseph, and the virgin's name, Mary. Upon entering, Gabriel greeted her. "Good morning. You're beautiful with God's beauty, beautiful inside and out. God be with you." She was thoroughly shaken, wondering what was behind a greeting like that. But the angel reassured her. "Mary, you have nothing to fear. God has a surprise for you. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son and call his name Jesus. He will be great, be called Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will rule Jacob's house forever, no end ever to his kingdom." Mary said to the angel, "But how? I've never slept with a man." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Highest hover over you. Therefore, the child you bring to birth will be called Holy, Son of God. And did you know that your cousin Elizabeth conceived a son, old as she is? Everyone called her barren, and here she is, 6 months pregnant. Nothing, you see, is impossible with God." And Mary said, "Yes, I see it all now. I am the Lord's maid, ready to serve. Let it be with me, just as you say." And then the angel left her. Let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. You know, there's a story of two artists who were commissioned to paint their perception of peace. And there was a panel of very distinguished judges who would then decide which artist had best captured the concept. And the winner would get a rich commission. Well, after the paintings were finished, the judges gathered to take a look. The first painting was a beautiful, magnificent pastoral scene with a farmer coming in after a hard day in the fields. His wife was cooking, his children were playing around the hearth, and all was at peace in this tranquil and beautiful farm. Sounds like peace to me. "Wow, that's it," said the judges. "But let's look at the other painting anyway." So they removed the veil from the second painting, and instead of a tranquil pastoral scene, there was this raging waterfall. But over on the side of the waterfall was a tiny branch of a tree growing out of a rock. And on the end of the branch was a bird's nest. And on the edge of the nest was a mother bird singing her heart out in the midst of the turbulence all around her. The judges thought for a moment and then said, "This is peace, tranquility, and celebration in the midst of turmoil." For me, this story reflects well the contrast right now between how we often picture Christmas and the reality of Christmas this year in the midst of this pandemic. But maybe, just maybe, this is the year when we come to a deeper understanding of what Christmas is really all about. Remember Dr. Seuss's famous story about when the Grinch stole Christmas? It ends with the Grinch with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. He puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas perhaps means a little bit more. As we consider Mary during that very fateful visit with the angel Gabriel, peace and packages are probably not the first things that come to mind. Mary, she had to be shocked. By the world standards, she was nobody special and likely felt pretty invisible. So imagine her surprise and likely confusion when an angel shows up, showers her with compliments, and then breaks the news that she is not only going to give birth, but that she'll give birth to the Son of the Highest. As Dwight Gunner so well puts it, this is a story of impossibilities. I mean, consider the impossibilities Mary faced in the story. She's a virgin and pregnant, and she's having a child while she's a virgin. That's impossible. No way, can't happen. Joseph had to follow through on the marriage after he discovers Mary is pregnant. Impossible. Mary must avoid being stoned to death when the neighbors hear the news. Impossible. And consider the impossibility Elizabeth faced. And she was well past the childbearing age, and yet God says she's going to conceive and bear a child. And this impossible news left old Zechariah speechless. Impossible, no way, won't happen. And yet it did. The impossible did happen. And Mary's story teaches us not only that God makes the impossible possible, but that God also loves to do extraordinary things through ordinary people. Here is Mary, just a poor Jewish teenage girl, probably between the ages of just 13 and 16. No credentials, no recognition. And yet, God chose her to birth the Son of God. And Mary was shaken, to put it mildly. Terrified is probably a more accurate word. Can you imagine being in her shoes? Gabriel clearly sensed Mary's fear and explained why he was appearing to her. In a response, how can this be? Or in today's language, are you kidding me? How's that going to happen? I mean, I'm a virgin. How can this be? Well, truth be told, though not anywhere near the same magnitude, many of us have probably had the same reaction when God desires to birth something new, something that seems impossible through us. Are you kidding me? How's that going to happen? Yeah, that's likely how we are going to respond. More often than probably we even want to admit, God gives us an idea for something that could bless others, and we sadly get stuck at impossible. And what's so amazing and meaningful in Mary's story is how quickly she actually got past her fears. And in spite of the many risks, she said, "Yes, I'm ready to serve. Let it be just as you say." What would happen if we could get past those fears and be willing to serve? Things could be very different in this world if we were as open as Mary. Back in the 1980s, the city of Detroit recognized the faithful, quiet work of Irene Oberlin, who at the time was honored at the age of 88 years old. And her husband traveled a great deal. And so when she was 56, she came up with the idea of gathering free samples of various medicines and drugs available in this country, and then shipping them to mission hospitals overseas. Well, in a period of 32 years, she shipped $16 million worth of healing medicines and enlisted 500 volunteers from all walks of life to help her carry out this amazing work. Or consider Albert Weilberger, who was not only a family doctor down in Delaware for 33 years, but who also served as the team physician for the high school and was a member of most of the town's leading volunteer associations and clubs, and just giving however he could throughout his whole life. And on his tombstone are words that should make us all think: the secret of living is giving. We must never forget that giving is not limited just to our own family or people we know or those we feel comfortable with either. Real giving has no boundaries. But the scriptures tell us God so loved the world. And as impossible as it may feel sometimes, we're called to do the same. And giving is an act of love. King Duncan shares a wonderful story of how, under a cultural exchange program, Alan Abramsky and his family in Roanoke, Texas, were hosts to a rabbi from Russia at Christmas time one year. They decided to introduce him to a treat that was probably not available in his country. They took him to their favorite Chinese restaurant. Throughout the meal, the rabbi spoke excitedly about the wonders of North America in comparison to the bleak conditions in his homeland. And when they'd finished eating, the waiter brought the check, presented each of them with a small brass Christmas tree ornament as a seasonal gift. They all laughed when Abramsky's father pointed out that the ornaments were stamped "Made in India." But then they saw that the rabbi was quietly crying. And concerned, Abramsky's father asked the rabbi if he was offended because he'd been given a gift for a Christmas holiday. The rabbi smiled, shook his head, and said, "Niet, no. I was shedding tears of joy to be in a wonderful country in which a Buddhist gives a Jew a Christmas gift made by a Hindu." My friends, this is a time to be reminded that God truly can make the impossible possible. A time to recognize that peace can be found even in turmoil, and that the secret of living is indeed giving, giving of ourselves with love. May we never forget, and may the giving not stop with Christmas. May Christmas be just the beginning. Let us pray. Lord God, this has indeed been the year of endless surprises, many beyond our imagining. But may the dark feelings that have weighed us down give us a deeper compassion and understanding of your holy word and our purpose in this world and beyond. Going forward, may we, like Mary, trust in you and follow wherever you lead. May we ever be reminded how you are always doing a new thing, but that you're always worthy of our trust. May we be reminded that we have never been promised an easy life, but a life called to serve, a life where we're called to be faithful, a life lived out in love towards others. And so we pray that you might give us discernment during this time of unknowns. Forgive us our bad decisions and help us to move forward boldly with wisdom, consistent with your calling and commandments. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, liberate us from all that's holding us back. Help us to discover the true selves you created us to be. Lord, we pray for all our brothers and sisters who are going through so much right now. Into your loving care, we lift all those who are fighting battles, seen and unseen, including our healthcare and essential workers who are serving so selflessly during this pandemic, many feeling overwhelmed, invisible. We pray for those experiencing loss of every kind during this time, loss of loved ones, loss of health, loss of income, loss of security. And we pray for our leaders as they seek to discern new ways forward, ways that will unite rather than divide your people, ways that will heal. And we pray for all those we name in silence. Dearest Lord, all these things we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. My friends, we're going to continue to go through experiences that surprise us. And we're going to continue to wonder if we can really trust God at times. But let us never forget the model of Mary, one who was perhaps not trained to do what she did, one who was clearly surprised, but one who was open and willing. Let us be open and willing as well, knowing that as we stumble, as we fail, God forgives us and picks us back up and puts us on our feet, and that he will provide us with what we need going forward. May you go forward knowing that living is indeed about giving. And now may you go in God's love, God's strength, and God's mercy. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. And God bless you.